ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 8th कैंटो चैप्टर 18th टेक्स्ट नंबर 21 तम नर्मदायस्तट उत्तरे बले यत्र विजस्ते भृगुकच्च संज्ञके प्रवर्तयन्तो भृगवाक्रतोत्तमम् व्यचक्षुतारातुदितं यथारविम् नर्मदा रिवर. The Brahminical priest, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamandev to be like sun rising nearby. Since there is no purport, we'll read the translation of the next verses. O king, because of Vamandev's bright effulgence, the priests along with Bali Maharaj and all the members of the assembly were robbed of their splendor. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, Sanat Kumar, or fire god has personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the supreme personality of Godhead Vamanadeva, holding in his hands the rod, the umbrella, the water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Ashwamedha sacrifice. Appearing as a Brahmana boy, wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of the deer skin and matted locks of hair, Lord Vamandev entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seat and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. Thus, Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamandev, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him a seat with great satisfaction. Thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always beautiful to the liberated souls, Bali Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet. Lord Shiva, the best of demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of moon, receives on his head with great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu. Being aware of the religious principles, Bali Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the Lord's lotus feet. Purport. Lord Shiva is known as Gangadhar, or one who carries the water of Ganges on his head. On Lord Shiva's forehead is an emblem of half moon. Yet, to give supreme respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva places the water of Ganges above this emblem. This example should be followed by everyone, or at least by every devotee, because Lord Shiva is one of the Mahajans. Similarly, Maharaj Bali also later became a Mahajan. One Mahajan follows another Mahajan, and by following the Parampara system of Mahajan activities, one can become advanced in spiritual consciousness. The water of Ganges is sanctified because it emanates from the toe of Lord Vishnu. Bali Maharaj washed the lotus feet of Vamanadeva, and the water with which he did became equal to the Ganges. Bali Maharaj, who perfectly knew all religious principles, therefore took that water on his head, following the footsteps of Lord Shiva. In the previous ages, when students used to study in the Gurukul, the mother of the Guru used to offer all the students milk. And sometimes it used to happen that because of non-availability of the milk, she used to mix wheat flour with water and serve the students, because milk used to be unavailable on some days. So today milk is not available at Radha Gopinath temple. So wheat flour and water has been mixed and been offered to all the hungry Bhagavatam. Because milk is nowadays exported to US from here to UK. So sometimes during this month of May, you have to satisfy yourself with this. So I seek blessings of all senior, junior, everyone, because I don't deserve to sit here and speak. So in this verse, there are these 8 verses on which I am supposed to speak. So in verse number 21-22, we see that the priests, when they see Vamanadeva, they start arguing with each other whether this is sun god, whether this is Sanat Kumar, whether this is fire god. Now actually the Lord has personally appeared, and here are people who are failing to recognize the Lord. Now why does this happen, that the Lord has come in the front of these priests and those who are doing this Ashwamedha Yajna? And people are, or those devotees were there, or so-called devotees, they were not devotees of the Lord, but were not able to recognize the Lord. This is because of lack of love. In the Brahma Samhita, we hear that Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochaneno. When the eyes are anointed with this love of Godhead, then only we can experience the beauty of the Lord, we can recognize the Lord. Otherwise, we again are confused, even if the Supreme Lord comes in front. Now, what do we learn from this love which exists in this world? I just thought I'll share with you. There are different kinds of loves which we see in this world. And one of the love which Srila Prabhupada described is the love of the parents, or the mother especially. Love of the mother towards her child. That, what do we learn from the mother's love to her child? One thing is, a mother, she, like if you come across a mother who has a small child, she will always keep on speaking about the child, he does like this, he does like that. The mother loves the child so much that she continues to speak about the child. The child goes to 10th standard and suppose comes first in the board. She keeps on speaking, he came first. Keeps on speaking, even the child gets married, his children are in 10th standard, still the mother keeps on telling that my child was. Because that love is so much that she is never tired. She is never tired of glorifying her child. We normally think that when will that day come when I'll continuously chant, or I'll be never tired of chanting. Now here is one example. A mother who loves the child keeps on glorifying. Materially this is possible, so why not spiritually? She will keep on glorifying the child. And she also likes to hear the glories of her child. Somebody starts glorifying her child, that your child is nice, he's good looking, he's smart, he's good at sports. She will never feel sleepy. Like we sometimes, when we are hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we sometimes feels little bit dizzy and sleepy. But a mother, have you ever seen that somebody is glorifying her child and she is sleeping, and then somebody is waking her up? Please, please listen, we are talking about your child. And again she gets up, struggles to listen. No, because that love is so intense that she will never fall asleep. And always glorifying, like for example, the child lifts a bag, so suitcase, she'll keep on saying, suitcase, suitcase, suitcase. Krishna lifts Govardhan, but we are not so much appreciative about it. But a small child, because we love him, he just lifts a small bag and we keep on glorifying. And also that mother shows that dedication 24 hours. Like for example, even in the midnight the child needs something, she is always available. So the lessons we learn, and another thing is that whenever she looks at the articles, the child goes to the school, but Prabhupada mentions that the mother looks at the shoes and remembers the child. So always remembering the child, whatever she looks at the dress, remembers the child. I think lot of lessons we can learn from the mother's love to the child. So first being that ability to continuously glorify the child, so which we should implement in glorifying the Lord and chanting. Ability to hear about the child, so which we can imbibe by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And being available 24 hours, being enthusiastic to serve. And remembering that child in all the articles we see. So, like for example, we have examples of this devotees like Mukunda Sarkar and all, who saw that peacock feather and remembered Krishna and fell unconscious. Now, normally we look at the peacock feather, we remember the peacock. But a pure devotee, he looks at the peacock and he remembers Krishna. A pure devotee, when he looks at peacock, he thinks, oh, Krishna dance like peacock here and there. So this is the difference between us and the pure devotees. And that main difference is because of the love in the heart. Now you take a reverse example of children loving the parents. Actually nowadays, this is very rarely seen. After a few years, people may not understand this example also. I'll just tell you a story. Like one boy had a dog. Dogs, he had named his dog as Paddy. This, nowadays the short forms are used. So he used to call his dog Paddy. And one afternoon he comes back home. And mother tells him that there is a sad news that Paddy has left his body. And he just becomes silent and walks out. The evening he comes back and mother tells him, actually there is a sad news. Paddy has left us, left his body. And then he starts crying and howling. And the mother gets confused. The mother tells him, morning I told you that Paddy has passed away. He said, oh, you talked about Paddy? I thought you told Daddy. So this is the kind of people love the pets more than the father and this thing. Okay, but anyways, we'll talk about those who love the parents. Those who love the parents, like in our hostels when we used to stay, we used to have those frames. Every room, there used to be a frame where the photograph of the parents used to be placed on one of the walls. Nowadays, we never see on the walls parents' photographs. But previously, at least, we used to do that. And whenever we used to look at that photograph, we used to remember, okay, these are my parents, my father, my mother. And we used to feel obliged. Okay, that idea was that whenever, suppose any time we were engaged in some time pass or something, not studying, we used to look at that photograph, feel inspired. Keeping that photograph, we used to always remember that, oh, my father, mother, they are watching me. So these principles of obligation can be learned through the child's love for the parents. Like, Krishna has given us so much. We used to feel so obliged. We still feel so obliged to our parents that they provided us with everything. But Krishna is providing us with air, water. This body has been provided by Krishna. So as people feel so much obliged to the parents, I think we should feel obliged. Like for example, we stand before Radha Gopinath. I always compare that moment when I used to look at my parents' photograph and when I look at Radha Gopinath, do I get that same kind of feeling? And I don't get. But when I go home from here, from the temple, and I see my parents' photograph, I feel kind of love and kind of relation. So we have a long way to go, at least myself. The another love which we see in this material world, which Srila Prabhupada Rupa Goswami, all of them continuously describe is the love between the girl and a boy. Now that love is so intense that any time the boy goes to that girl's house and says, let's run away. And the girl is ready to go. So I always, whenever I'm giving lectures, I ask the audience that if Krishna comes here with an airplane now and says that, okay, come on, board it and we'll go back. Of course, here everybody will board, but normally, at least people will be hesitant suddenly to leave. Okay. They will say, okay, even if we are devotees, we are comfortable here right now in the temple. But that intense love, what we see between a boy and a girl. Now this girl, she at that point never cares for family prestige. She never cares for relatives. She never cares for the home, the bungalow. So that is the power of love. It's so much motivating that a person on the basis of that love can sacrifice anything. So this is the beauty of our philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That it is because of love of Godhead that we will become detached from this world. But Mayavadis, they don't aspire for such kind of love. So therefore they feel the difficulty in getting detached. This detachment is easily possible by love, and which is there only in devotional service. In the other type of yogas, like the Hatha Yoga system or any Dhyana Yoga or Jnana Yoga, people don't, they aspire for knowledge, they aspire for all those siddhis, but they don't aspire for love. And they fail to realize that it is the love which is so much a dragging force that a person can immediately give up everything, which we very nicely see in this example of love between a boy and a girl in this material world. Another example of love in this material world is the love which we have for the sports stars, the love which we have for the film stars. Okay. If we study the process, the way this love developed, then we understand that how we can develop love for Krishna. How we started loving these film stars. So normally, sorry for reminding you of those old days, but normally when a new film star makes a debut in the film industry, people start talking about him. So I'll take an example of a film star whose name is related to Krishna, like Govinda. No, because that was the closest I could find. And when I was in my college, he had made his debut. So what happens typically is, we are sitting in the canteen, and people are talking, did you hear about this new hero, Govinda? And then people are talking. Then we go to the classroom, there also people are talking about Govinda. Then we go to our private tuition, there also people are talking about Govinda. Then we read in the newspaper about him. Then we read more, and then there is an article, and we read, we get thrilled. And we get a desire to see. That's what used to happen. Okay, now we have heard, now we have read. And that intense desire to see him. Okay, I'll go. And then people go to the movie, see him. Then fall in love with him almost. Then start reading about him, put his photographs everywhere. I think this is how the process of Krishna consciousness is actually. If you study this, of process of developing love. We firstly hear the names of Krishna. Okay. And then hear the glories regularly as we do in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we do this, in the material world we have seen that it is possible that when people hear again and again the name and the glories, they get a desire to see that person. So spiritually also the same principle, that again and again if we hear the holy name and again if we hear the glories of Krishna, we will develop that intense desire to see him. And once we develop that intense desire to see him, we see him and that love develops, then automatically we'll like to read about him. Because people love the film stars, they like to read about them. That's how the Filmfare magazines and all those Stardust magazines are selling so much. Because people love the film stars, so they like to read about them. because we don't love Krishna, unfortunately, we don't like to read. So once that love develops, we will also start. That's how the process is. Like we hear of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, same stories again and again, again and again. So how is it possible? The same thing is possible in this material world also. So why not it is spiritually possible? It's possible spiritually also. And what are the effects of this love? The first effect of this love is a person becomes conscious. In this material world, whenever we see this loving affair between these boys and girls, the moment they fall in love, they become conscious about their dressing sense. Whatever they are doing consciously. Okay, now she is going to see me or he is going to see me, whatever it is. Like few years back, His Grace Damodar Pandit Prabhu had given a class and he gave us a hypothetical example and he said, just imagine that Krishna decides to visit your house tomorrow at 12 o'clock for prasad. I had recently written an article on this, becoming conscious of Krishna. And how much conscious will become? In the dream, Krishna comes and tells that, okay, 12 o'clock I am coming for prasad. We'll get up with thoughts of Krishna. While bathing, we'll be Krishna conscious that, okay, now Krishna is going to see me. While putting the tilak, we'll be Krishna conscious. Okay, Krishna is going to see this tilak. While wearing the clothes. And even while going to get the vegetables in the market, a person will be Krishna conscious. Okay, now I'm going to make something for Krishna. While cooking in the house, the female or male, whoever is cooking, they will become conscious that I am cooking for Krishna. And when actually Krishna comes and offers, we'll so cautiously worship him, offer him food, and when he leaves, all those remnants will be, each bite, there will be a mood that these are the remnants of the Lord. And in the night also when we sleep, we'll be thinking of Krishna. So actually Krishna is there. Krishna comes in the form of holy name to see us every day. Krishna comes to accept our prasad every day. Only thing we have to do is become conscious. Krishna consciousness activities, even done unconsciously, still a person progresses in Krishna consciousness. But here is a chance of progressing in our spiritual life just by process of bathing. Even while taking bath, a person remains conscious that this is Krishna's body, I am cleaning it, because I am going to come in contact of Krishna with Krishna when I am chanting. Just this process of bathing, one progresses. A housewife, if she just remains conscious that Krishna is going to come to accept this bhoga, just by cooking she makes progress. And this is the beauty of bhakti yoga. In other processes of devotional service, this hatha yoga, jnana yoga, people don't progress while cooking and all. In Krishna consciousness, just in the process of cooking, just adding that consciousness, we progress. And that is why our movement has been named as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And all of us have to struggle for this, to remain conscious of Krishna 24 hours. So because of lack of love, those people could not recognize Vamanadeva. But Bali Maharaj could easily recognize. Here in this one of those verses, the translation is that Bali Maharaj, jubilant by seeing Lord Vamandev, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him seat with great satisfaction. So Bali Maharaj became jubilant because he had that love. Somewhere because of his ancestors were devotees, or he himself was a pure soul. And he could recognize that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we have that devotion, Krishna may come in any form, the soul gets attracted. Like we talk about the example of magnet and the iron. Automatically that magnet may come in any form, But still automatically the ion will recognize the magnet and get attracted. Like we have example of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Bilwa Mangal Thakur could not even see, but that Nandulal who was playing around him was Krishna. So automatically the soul got so much attracted that he started composing the prayers on him. The another example in the Brahma Vimohan Leela also we see that Krishna took the form of the cowherd boys and went, when Brahma stole away all the cowherd boys and the calves, Krishna took, expanded himself as calves and cowherd boys. And the all the Brajavasis got attracted to their children. So even Krishna comes in a different form, still the soul is intrinsically attracted towards him. The cows also, they saw the calves and started running. So here Krishna has come in the form of a calf, Krishna has come in the form of a cowherd boy, but still that bond, that magnet ion effect, what we say, that the magnet comes in any form, the ion will be attracted. And in the verse 28, verse number 28, we in the purport we heard about the Mahajans and how Bali Maharaj followed the footsteps of various Mahajans. Actually, this lecture is there by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, given in 1993 on 12 Mahajans. Most of the experts are from these lectures, and my sister heard it and recited it to me, and Srinivas Prabhu, son of Dayal Chandra Prabhu, he gave some tips on this. So before I speak, I should acknowledge. Actually, so many years what used to happen is I used to listen the Bhagavatam here and go outside, and verbatim I used to repeat most of the times. So I used to be always tensed about what to speak here, because whatever I speak everywhere was from whatever I heard from this. Like, for example, I used to give those classes at this Tulsi Manas High School. So on one Saturday, Gaur Gopal Prabhu gave a very nice class. So I just wrote it down and went there, and verbatim I repeated the class. And our Gopal Leela Prabhu was there. So after the lecture, I asked Gopal Leela Prabhu, so how was the class? And he said, I was there for the morning Bhagavatam. So that time I realized that I am repeating, but I am not acknowledging. So those people nowadays, they download movies from the internet. So I was just inquiring one of my colleagues that is it free or something. So he said, no, it is not free. It is free, you have to download, but you have to upload also some movies, then only you can, after so many years of I think downloading so many things from the temple, I think Hare Krishna Prabhu realized that I have to upload something at least. Otherwise, I'll... So what they do in this process is, if somebody is keep on downloading and doesn't upload anything, doesn't contribute anything to the website, then they stop him from downloading anything further. So I thought it's a warning notice, so better I give one class here. So talking about the 12 Mahajans, I just thought of a theme that here was the theme in this. The theme of the purport was that how Srila Prabhupada is following the footsteps of how Bali Maharaj is following the footsteps of Lord Shiva. So I just thought of a theme, how Srila Prabhupada followed the footsteps of the Mahajans. Like for example, we talk about Lord Brahma as the first Mahajan, who is the creator of the universe, who takes all these pains in creating the universe. And Srila Prabhupada has been our founder, is like our creator of our ISKCON. So much pains. Not only creator, he is the maintainer also through his books, and he did maintain when he was here. And from Brahma came the Vedas, and from Srila Prabhupada has come this 80 books which he has written. Some of them are voluminous, some of them are small, but at least the last figure I heard was 80. I don't know, Shadbhuj Prabhu maybe. Because nowadays some new books also come up with his lectures compiled. So, and these books are designed precisely in such a way that a Kali Yuga soul can read it and progress. You can see that after some distance, birth, old age, disease, death is coming, and philosophy of chanting. They are absolutely like a tailor-made books for Kali Yuga. We sometimes talk about nectarian books by the various Goswamis and all. But if I have to compare these books to a meal, I would say that Srila Prabhupada's books are like a staple diet, like rice, dal, chapati, sabji. The Goswami's books and all other books may be like a sweet dish which can be added to it. But if we are addicted to that nectar and too much of sweet, we know what happens if we just eat the sweet dish and keep the rice dal aside. No, we can never do it. Srila Prabhupada's books, whenever I look at it, I remember, okay, this is my staple diet. This I have to eat. If we don't get the sweet, it's sometimes okay. It's not mandatory. But eating this cross meal, what we say, is necessary. So Srila Prabhupada's books are like that. The next Mahajan is Narad Muni. And Srila Prabhupada used to always, he himself used to say, like, Narada was cursed by Daksha that he has to travel. He has to, because the Daksha had cursed him that you will never have a permanent residence. So Prabhupada used to say, similarly, all the Brahmachari's parents, they are cursing me, and because of that I am not getting a fixed place. And one way which we can relate Srila Prabhupada is to Narad Muni, or how he followed the footsteps of Narad Muni, that Narad Muni had all this variety of disciples. Many of them were fallen, like Mrugari and those Valmiki in this previous thing were hunters. And Srila Prabhupada also had this whole range of disciples. Specifically talking about Mrugari, he told Mrugari that you would firstly break this bow and sit down here. And Mrugari asked him that how will I get the food? And Narad Muni told him that you just chant and everything will come. And that's what Srila Prabhupada told all his disciples. And disciples firstly asked him that if we give up everything and sit here and chant, then what will happen? And Srila Prabhupada used to tell that Krishna will provide you everything. And that's what precisely happened. And so Prabhupada used to say very proudly that none of us are employed, but we are feeding the whole world. And at one point in Los Angeles, it happened that one reporter, he asked one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada that, who is feeding all of you? And that disciple said, Krishna is feeding us. Then that reporter went to Srila Prabhupada and he said, I met your disciple and I asked him that who is feeding you, and he told that Krishna is feeding. And Prabhupada was so happy. Prabhupada said, I am so happy that at least one person has realized that Krishna is feeding. He said, all that pain I took from coming from India to US, I think it is now fruitful that one of my disciples has realized that actually it is Krishna who is feeding us. The next Mahajan is Shiva, who took all the poison, and Srila Prabhupada took all the sins of all his disciples. Lord Shiva was so much compassionate on the fallen people, and Srila Prabhupada showed compassion to the hippies who were at that time living a lifestyle like what Lord Shiva's followers were. And Lord Shiva never was concerned that who talks, whatever people used to talk about him. He used to just concerned with his service. He was knowing that the Supreme Lord has given me this service and he was doing it. So he never, he was even criticized by his own father-in-law. This we see in Srila Prabhupada's life also. So much criticism when he had to face when he went overseas, when he was preaching there. But still he was just concerned with his service. When I think about the Kumaras, the fourth Mahajans, they are so innocent. They never wanted to grow old, never wanted to come to this material world. And Srila Prabhupada once told his disciples this story that I never wanted to come to this material world. But Krishna told me that go down and write books, and that is why I have come. So he was also not interested. What happens with us typically is we like to explore the material world. We are so excited about the things. Like coming to ISKCON, we sometimes say that it's like we have reached the airport almost. The only thing we have to do is board the plane to the spiritual world. But a person gets distracted on the airport also. Like we see, there was a story of a person who was flying to London. So he goes to the Bombay airport and there are these weighing scales. So he puts this 1 rupee coin and there is a flash display that your name is Rajesh, your weight is 67 kgs and you are traveling to London. Now this fellow gets excited. How come this machine knows that I am traveling, my name and everything? So he goes to the bathroom, he changes his hairstyle, again comes, puts 1 rupee. Again the message displayed, your name is Rajesh, your weight is 67, you are traveling to London. Again he goes to the bathroom, puts on different set of clothes and comes, puts 1 rupee. Again the message, your name is Rajesh, your weight is 67 kgs and your flight to London has left. So, the lesson is that trying to explore the material world and getting so much excited about, we may miss the flight. We are just excited about the gadgets in this world. We are so much excited about the things in this world. We are on the airport. No, better just concentrate, okay? We are just a short time away from boarding the plane to the spiritual world. But if we get distracted here and there, it's very difficult that we may board the airplane. So, these Kumaras, Srila Prabhupada, they're absolutely not interested in exploring this world. We have the fifth Mahajan, Kapila Muni, who actually by his devotion, such a young age, amazed his parents. Srila Prabhupada also at the age of 5, we know, took the Rath Yatra. When he was 5 years old, he used to go, little older, but he used to go to the Howrah station and he used to inquire the details about the train to Jagannath Puri, that what is the ticket, what is the cost, which trains go. So much of devotion he had. And Kapil Muni, he told this famous shloka that anybody can become a spiritual master. It's not that a person from particular varna or ashram can become. Even a person from a family of dog eaters can become a spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada is the one who actually made it possible, this prediction of Kapila Muni, that anybody can become a spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada actually brought into action by giving sannyas initiation to many of his disciples who were kind of into eating meat and intoxication. When His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was talking about Swayambhav Manu, Maharaj said that he had all excuses. He was a grahastha. He had all excuses not to extend himself so much in for devotional service. But he always remained submissive to Guru and Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada also in his grahastha ashram showed that how he was so submissive and how he helped the Guru's mission. Even as a grahastha, he supported. As we compare Prabhupada following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, I think Srila Prabhupada had that kind of faith which Prahlad Maharaj had. Like Prahlad Maharaj was so many times into, he faced a lot of turbulence in his life, was thrown into the ocean. And Srila Prabhupada also crossed the ocean where he had heart attacks. But had the same faith which Prahlad had. And he was saved and he sailed across safely to US. And Srila Prabhupada used to always, in the GBC meetings, I think in 1972, he asked the GBCs that how many of you have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And you know, when somebody asks, like Srila Prabhupada asked this question, it's very difficult to answer. Any other person asks us, how do you have faith? We may say yes. Okay? But like, when a person with great faith asks us, it's difficult. Like even Hiranyakashipu, when he asked Prahlad, that do you have faith that Krishna is there in the pillar? And he just said, yes, I have that faith. Because he had that faith. Now suppose we are asked that, do you have faith that Krishna is there in the pillar? We may say, let's break the pillar. You will also come to know and I'll also be convinced what is the real truth. But a person having that faith, we see with Prahlad Maharaj, he said, yes, he's there. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada in his heart had that faith. And when a person with so much faith asks us, then do you have that faith? It's very difficult to say yes. It's very difficult. And nobody replied. And Srila Prabhupada said, if I just get few people who have this faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in 18 days I can make the whole world Krishna conscious. But that is the power of faith which Srila Prabhupada had. Like Janak Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada turned out to be a very ideal administrator. At here we are struggling to manage one temple, you know, there is a festival coming up and the whole temple is tensed up, how to manage the whole festival, managing the whole temple, so many authorities and so many committees, and Srila Prabhupada at one time was managing 108 temples. So very ideal administrator, and did what Janak Maharaj did. He handed over Sita to Ram. That's what Srila Prabhupada did. Whenever Lakshmi came, he used it in service of Krishna. As regards Srila Prabhupada following the footsteps of Bhishma Dev, we know that Bhishma Dev spoke such nice eloquent philosophy lying on the bed which was made up of arrows. And Srila Prabhupada at the time of his death was also translating Srimad Bhagavatam and speaking so nice philosophy. As regards following the footsteps of Bali Maharaj, we see the story of Bali Maharaj. Immediately when he realizes, okay, this is the Supreme Lord, this is the process of devotional service which I am supposed to do, he immediately gave up all his false gurus. In Srila Prabhupada's life also we can see this. Srila Prabhupada initially was follower of all these people who freedom fighters and was fighting a part of that movement. But the moment he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave up all his other gurus and he surrendered completely. The Sukhdev, comparing how Srila Prabhupada followed the footsteps of Sukhdev Goswami. When Sukhdev Goswami was given this opportunity, he had very less time. He had only 7 days and he decided to speak the essence of the Vedas. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes that I have very less time. I may not be able to complete the Srimad Bhagavatam, but whatever essence is there, I have given in this one book, that is Krishna book. And please read it. The last Mahajan is Yamraj, and for me it was a great task to find out that how to compare. Firstly, I was always scared of this name because during initiation, my name started with Y and my Karmi name was Yuvraj. So I was very scared whether I'll get a name Yamraj Das or something like that. It was rhyming, na, Yuvraj, Yamraj. So during initiation, I just took the mala and I heard the name that it is not Yamraj. Anything else will do. Now Yamraj has to do this austere service, you know, of punishing people. And Srila Prabhupada did this austere service, you know, taking action against disciples who called him God or who removed his name as founder Acharya and all these troubles caused by his disciples. And Srila Prabhupada had to take action. He was, that time, he used to take this form as a strict administrator. But still, Yamaraj, in the heart of heart, he is a very gentle devotee. So therefore, he takes form of Vidura just to do devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada's secretary, Shrutakirti Prabhu, when he was here, he used to tell that Srila Prabhupada, in the whole process of administering the whole ISKCON, in the afternoon time when he used to get time, he used to just sit on the harmonium and start singing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and the various bhajans. And Shrutakirti Prabhu used to run inside and take the kartals and join Srila Prabhupada. And he said that was something Srila Prabhupada loved from his heart. Other things, you know, taking action against disciple or sometimes, you know, firing at somebody, that is what he had to do. And he did it as a service to the Supreme Lord, like what Yamaraj does as a service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the heart of heart, he remained a very nice devotee who used to love doing these bhajans and kirtans. So, thank you very much for tolerating me. This was my first class. And I had to start with very basics, like here are all seasoned players, and I had to start with by hearting Radha Madhav and searching for my Bhagavatam. So please forgive me if I have spoken or strayed away from the philosophy. Hare Krishna. If there are any comments, they are welcome. Questions, unless you... Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.